This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey guys, it's Damon from the PureCast. The New Japan PureCast is proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight from Japan to your mailbox. Check out their selection of in-stock merch like t-shirts, action figures, magazines, trading cards, or use their purchasing service to order items from Japanese websites like the New Japan Shop. Like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, GaijinCollectibles.com.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan PuroCast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. At the time that we are recording this, it is Sunday, March 12th, and Damon, we've got a lot to talk about here today. We are going to be reviewing nights 1 and 2 of the New Japan Cup 2017 that just happened the past few days. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the highlights from NJPW's 45th anniversary show that happened last Monday. And lots going on. Damon.
Yes.
So,
what's going on?
The first night of this New Japan Cup.
Whew. Yeah, I'm going to be truthful. I thought both nights were pretty, dare I say, flat. I think there were some good matches to be had. I think everyone going into night two was really excited about what was on paper to be arguably four matches that on paper, again, could argue main event status of what we saw at the Tokyo Dome, right? New, fresh matchups against world-class...
championship wrestling?
No. World-class pro wrestlers. But I got to be honest. And if I am truthful, by and large, both of these shows, I was bored out of my skull. I didn't think they were that great at all. And again, there were a handful of matches that were good, right? Good matches.
Sure.
I don't think anything was great. I don't think anything was, you know, quote, pants down.
I thought that the main event of night two, of course, Omega versus Ishii, that, to be honest with you, if there's anything that I'm going to tell somebody to go out of their way to see from these two nights, that match would be it.
Yeah. I think Tanahashi and Evil was good.
It was good. I've been reading a lot on the NJPW subreddit. I'm hearing people throw around 4.5 stars. I didn't even think it was maybe it's sniffing 4.
I give it in the four range. And again, it don't quarters, what, who cares? But I don't think it breaks that barrier. And listen, I'll give Hiroshi Tanahashi every benefit of the doubt. You know me. Christ.
You're the biggest Tanahashi fan on this side of the...
Yeah, to a fucking fault. I would admit. I'm a guy who could easily dismiss flaws in a match. I'll be the first to admit. This was not a 4.5-star match.
No.
It just wasn't. And then Omega and Ishii, I thought until the last few moments, maybe, you know, 4 minutes, 3 minutes maybe, up until that point, Colin, I was actually muttering out loud, like, I don't know if I want to stick with this match.
I'm going to have to agree with you.
I couldn't get into it. I couldn't find its groove, and I don't think they could either. And God is my witness, Colin, when I saw Kenny Omega walking out from that entrance, listen, nobody's going to believe me, and that's fine. Maybe my wife can vouch for me. But I muttered somewhat under my breath, but somewhat aloud, watching him walk to the ring, I was like, that motherfucker's losing tonight. That motherfucker's losing tonight. Like, he wore that on his face.
You think
like,
so?
I really think so. Like, he was not in a good mood at all. Like, it felt like he was like, he would rather have been anywhere on earth.
Do you remember what I said last week?
What?
Tying up loose ends, buddy. Tying up loose ends for the year.
And
he got his Ishii match in. There you go. There's one thing crossed off of the Kenny Omega bucket list in Japan.
Were you shocked by that finish? I think that was a bracket-busting Ishii win.
I guarantee you,
I don't think there were many people that had Ishii circled with a W next to his name.
No, and I said to you before we went on the air, I'm perfectly fine with that finish. I'm actually happy that Ishii won. I think that I would have been more shocked had I not watched night one. Because after night one, I said to myself, all right, this isn't going to go how everyone thinks it's going to go. Because
it never does.
It never does.
Right.
And that's both a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, to me, the obvious, if you want to have the best New Japan Cup finale, there's one obvious match, and that's Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Kenny Omega.
I would have thought. I'm going to be truthful. As I sit here right now, this New Japan Cup, my interest in it has dropped considerably. Like, the matchups to me right now are like, okay. Like, I've seen Shibata and Ishii 767 times. Right, I'm gonna again. Let's not give away spoilers, but let's give away some spoilers here. These second round matches, Colin, they're not. They're not doing anything for me.
No.
Evil versus Yuji Nagata. Okay, I mean it could be good. Could be okay. I mean,
that's
not gonna light the world on fire.
It could be good. That's your ceiling.
All right, Juice against Ishii. Right.
I think so. Or is it Ishii versus Sonata?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My bad. But it's let me bring it up. Yeah.
Yep.
Excuse me. So yeah, Evil Nagata, right? Fale Yano. Shibata Juice, right? And Ishii Sonata, which that's to me probably the most interesting matchup.
Ishii Sonata, even Juice Shibata, that should be interesting.
Okay. But look at the people who are not in it. Tanahashi, Elgin, Suzuki, Hiroshi Tanahashi. I'm going to be truthful. Kenny Omega, my interest has fallen greatly in this New Japan Cup. It really has.
Also, didn't it seem like last year's New Japan Cup, that first show, boy, that really kicked off as something special. I mean, you had all these big announcements for 2016. You had all these guys signing contracts. We didn't have anything like that this time around.
No, right? Yeah, again, the feeling I got out of this is that it's a little flat. Now, I will say this. I have heard people make the argument, and it is a valid point, that we're going to make some stars here, right? So, again, Juice makes it to the next level. Evil makes it to the next level. Sonata makes it to the next level. So on that note, on that level, I guess this is a good thing, right? I guess this is something that we can hang our hats on here in early March to say, okay, New Japan is doing everything they can. And again, a big win for Evil, right? A big win, even though it was fucking
tainted,
ridiculous. And again, we'll dive deeper into it. It's still a win, which is pretty nice. Again, Juice getting a big win. Again, it's Takahashi, not the good one. But it's still a singles win. And Sonata getting a win over a guy who, you know, who, again, we need to be reminded of, you know, they're trying to make him more relevant. Fale, you know, he gets his annual Remember Me push. Right? Remember Me, I'm a big man.
I read a comment by somebody. Well, I'll save it.
No.
The match.
All right. Don't forget it. Write it down because I want to hear it.
It's ingrained in my memory. Trust me.
Okay. But again, the overall feeling is I feel flat after this is all done. I feel like the matches were decent to good. Nothing great. I don't think Ishii and Kenny Omega was great.
I think it sniffed 4.5.
No.
No?
Nah, I don't. I'm sorry, I don't. I think it's a 4-star match. I think that's the ceiling of every match we had here. Colin, there were moments where I'm just like, that match, more than any match, and again, we're going to get into them all, at least of the tournament matches.
Not the undercard.
The undercard was horrific. It was some of it. Actually, some of it wasn't terrible, but there was terrible moments. Don't get me wrong. That match had no flow for me. And again, the last 4 minutes were good. It was really solid. I'm sorry. Maybe my expectations are too high. Maybe it's me, but I didn't see a match of the year contender there. I don't think. Anyone, I can't say anyone. Taste is taste, but I let's put it this way: I don't hear any buzz about this match. Like I don't hear anyone buzzing about this match.
Omega and Ishii.
Yeah. And again, I'm not Mr. Twitter, so you know it's not like I'm everywhere there. But
I didn't check yet because I literally just got done watching it.
Right. But I don't hear a buzz. I mean, seriously. Usually after a great match, my phone is bing, 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 bing.
That's a lot of bings.
A couple. People let me know what they think of a match if it's great. And my data plan takes a good pounding. I can get shit. I haven't gotten shit so far. I've got nothing. I literally no texts, nothing. And what does that tell you? What does that tell you?
Well, as you were...
That's something I better check my phone is what it tells me. Maybe I don't have service. Oh, no, I'm good. Okay, of course.
As you were saying earlier, I guess you can kind of look at this year's New Japan Cup. Like, the silver lining in all of this is that, like you said, it looks like they're using this as a platform to create some new stars in Juice, in Evil, in Sonata. However... At the end of the day, the most important thing to me and the most important thing to you is the match quality. And that is what is ultimately suffering here, at least so far in these two shows.
Yeah, I would agree. But and again, here's Devil's Advocate Damon. Maybe you need to take a step backwards to move two steps forward, right? So again, maybe that's what we're experiencing with these shows. Again, with Juice, with Sonata and Evil especially. Maybe it's just one of those things where these are the shows that we're going to put a little bit more of a foundation underneath these guys. And you know, in hindsight, it might be a smart thing. Like, who's going to really – all right, not for nothing, but Tanahashi loses, Elgin loses – Suzuki loses, Omega loses. Let's work with Omega out of the gate.
Okay.
It's not going to kill Omega.
No.
Right.
And that was my thought as soon as the match wrapped up. I thought, okay. And I kind of got excited because the wheels started turning then. And I thought to myself, maybe, just maybe, this is going to be the vehicle that gets us that Ishii Okada rematch that we have been clamoring for.
You did read my mind. You did read my mind. So, yes, maybe that. And again, we stink. We stink on ice when it comes to trying to bring callback spots to life, right? Because I'm done with trying to make Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega happen. I'm done, right? I'm exhausted with it. I just want like I'm trying to hold on to that little nugget, that little glance, and hold on to it. I've been holding on to that fucking thing for how long, Colin? 2 years? 3 years? I'm resigning to the fact that I'm never going to see Omega Ibushi. Okay, I'm just not going to see it.
Well, I'm resigning. Not necessarily true.
It might be. It might not.
We do have something called the G1 Climax coming up this summer.
We do. We definitely do. But again, I'm tired of waiting. I'm very impatient. But yeah, it's. I mean, maybe that's what we're looking at here. I'm hoping, but it's not going to hurt Kenny Omega, and it's going to help Ishii. Right. A win over Omega helps Ishii, and you know, obviously, a Juice pinning Takahashi is helpful for Juice, and that's probably the level of guy that he should be beating. Good, right? And then what do you got? Evil with Tanahashi. And Evil and Tanahashi, again, even though the finish was totally fucked, and I hated the finish.
Even the beginning of that match. The brawling and that god-awful chair spot.
It is. Fucking hate that chair spot. It was literally everything I hate about an Evil match, all rolled up into one. But if you noticed, Colin Miller, it felt to me, and maybe I'm watching this with a different set of eyes, it felt like Evil, I don't want to say dominated in this win, but this was a solid win minus the finish, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, he defeated the ace.
Yeah, so that's a huge, and this whole entire mini feud thing, it feels like Evil has gotten the benefit over Tanahashi. He's definitely had the upper hand. So let me ask you this, which leads me to, are you okay with Tana kind of taking a back? Let me ask you a better question. Do you think that's what's happening? Do you think that this is a gentle nudge of Tanahashi out of the upper echelon, and maybe he's a and I'm gonna say a B level, but again, is this them taking that lofty ace title away from Tanahashi? And again, you kind of feel it in not only the matches, but you feel it in how he's presented. And I hate to use this that god awful music that they're trying to shove down our throats, right? But even you could see he doesn't even like it. Like he doesn't even like it. You just see him being repackaged, and I talked about how I saw Kenny Omega's face, and I was like, this guy's losing. Like I look at Tanahashi, I don't see a happy guy. Like I see a guy who's struggling with. And again, I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, maybe I'm just, you know, projecting. But I see a guy who's not happy. Do you think the time is right now that Tanahashi starts to take a back seat?
You know, it's interesting that you should bring this up, because Tanahashi, to me right now, it almost feels like he is in the same group as the NJPW dads. Like, the Nagatas, the Kojimas, he's in
enough of those fucking six-man tags, you'd think it, right?
The, dare I say, the Nakanishis. It feels like he is, you know, kind of transitioning into the old wily veteran role. However, you can also kind of put a different spin on this and say, well, he's conserving himself right now because he has a lot more mileage on his body.
I think he does.
And what he's doing is he's saving some of that gas in the tank for the G1.
Okay, so you're saying we got another G1 out of Tanahashi.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and again, he's not going to live forever, and nor do I expect that. He's been on top for, let's put it this way. It's no mistake that he is on the downward side of his career, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? So he's not getting younger. The injuries have mounted up. I just think that. And again, it just might be me projecting. It feels to me like he's a guy that's not happy right now in his role. And he understands his role right now. And his role right now feels and seems to me to put over younger guys. And yeah, it's a weird spot that he's in right now. It's a weird spot because I still think there's plenty more in the tank. I mean, the guy co-headlined the Dome.
He did. He put on a match of the year candidate with Naito.
Yeah. So it's not like he doesn't have anything in the tank. He most certainly fucking does. Make no bones about it. But I just think, I think that he's recognizing that he's maybe not the guy anymore. And that's got to be a troubling spot to be in as a competitive athlete, to know that, okay, that's starting to get chipped away. But yeah, I thought the match was okay. I thought the match was good. It wasn't great. Nothing was great. Nothing was great on either of these two shows.
Well, on that note, Damon, what do you say we get right into it and start off with night one from Saturday, March 11th. And the first New Japan Cup from the first round was Yuji Nagata versus Tonga Loa. Now, before we start talking about this match, Yuji Nagata, of course, filling in for Tomoaki Honma. And the last thing I heard is that Honma is now able to, move his extremities, thank God. And he's vowing to make a comeback. But I just want to say one thing. I would much rather see this guy, Honma, never wrestle again and be able to walk and have a life than get back in the ring, kind of stubbornly and have something even worse happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, and I hope smart thoughts would prevail. But again, this is pro wrestling, mind you.
It is. It's quite the business.
Yeah, so, yeah, and I know that's optimistic. Again, we're talking about, basic, simple motor skills, though, and it's been, more than a week now, right? So it's been almost 2 weeks. That's encouraging. You want to see signs of progress. And I did read transcripts online with the medical staff who were optimistic in that he would make a recovery. I didn't say full, but a recovery. And again, it is good news to hear that those things are happening, but that doesn't mean that he's hopping in G1, right? That doesn't mean that he's ready to get back into a ring. And yes, I would rather expect, again, this is not a knee. This is not a shoulder. This is not an elbow. This is a spine injury. And I would rather see them proceed as cautiously as possible, because sadly we do know what happens when damage to the spine and damage to that area. We know how serious it can become if it's ignored.
Right, and Honma, what scares me. Honma has that mindset of, all right, I've got to get back in the game as soon as possible.
Yeah, because that's how they get paid. You know what I mean? Like that's how they make their money. And there is a pride thing, and again, a competitive athlete thing. They wouldn't get to that level if they didn't have that. Unfortunately, that can be a detriment in the sense of I'm fine. I'm gonna get back in the ring. Well, okay, you have to sit still, and you have to wear this neck brace, and you can't perform physical activity because you're going to do further damage to yourself. I just hope logic and common sense prevails, and again, I have no reason that it won't in this particular case, but again, going by history, you know, pro wrestlers, you know, have that stubborn mentality, and that might not be a good thing in this case.
So, nevertheless, Yuji Nagata taking Honma's place here in the New Japan Cup, which, by the way, I called that last week.
Yeah, you did. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I think we were thinking out loud who else could possibly take that spot.
And Makabe, a lot of people were saying, which was, you know, kind of like the perhaps the obvious choice. But Yuji Nagata filling in for Honma here and taking on Tangaloa in Tangaloa's first singles match. And
yeah, it showed, didn't it?
It sure did.
Okay, all right. I'm going to give you the floor, Colin. I'm going to give you the floor. What you think of this stellar pro wrestling match?
It looked like Yuji Nagata in the ring with a very green pro wrestler trying to just get through it. Good. That's what it looked like. He's just trying to get through it.
I think you said it better than I could, Colin. That's exactly like Tangaloa's offense looks so uninspired and just, I don't want to say lazy, but it is lacking a dynamic that you become accustomed to when watching New Japan Pro Wrestling matches. Like, he just should not be in the same company as the rest of the members of said company.
He looks like a VA hall wrestler.
He really does, Colin. He really does.
And he wrestles like one.
Yes. Yes. And help me understand, because there are people out there that have hopped on a bandwagon of how great G.O.D. is and how improved Tangaloa is. Like, that seems to be the cool thing to say, because you're on the inside of pro wrestling and you know what you're looking for. Help me understand, as a guy who's been watching this for, 30 something years, what the fuck am I missing with him, with Tangaloa? Because I don't see anything that he does particularly well. Help me understand.
We have said that G.O.D. has improved marginally together.
They've had one really good match.
And it was that World Tag League final against GBH.
Yes, they've had one really good match and maybe another good match. Okay, congratulations. But now it's stuck out like a sore thumb, right? We're going to put this guy in a singles match, his first. There are young Lions that have had more single matches than him. Okay, great. We're going to now put the spotlight in the ring with a guy who arguably is a legend in New Japan Pro Wrestling, right? Who works with guys who have had, you know, three matches, four matches, and they turn out okay. And dare I say, Colin, they turned out better than what we saw this particular match.
Here's the thing that I find puzzling. Like, okay, so they put G.O.D. in this New Japan Cup, and I understand why, because you need some people to take L's, but there are other people on the roster who could take losses, but at the same time deliver a better match. Like, I'll just throw one example at you right now. Satoshi Kojima. Yeah. Why not throw him in there instead of Tangaloa?
Yeah.
If you send Tangaloa back to NXT right now, he'd be one of the worst guys there.
And that's saying something.
Yeah.
And that's saying something. Yeah, he is just not a good fit. That's the best compliment I can give him. He's just not a good fit. Not a good fit. Again, help me understand. What does he do well? Give me what he does well. I don't see it at all, man.
You know what I think it is? I really believe this. I think that this G.O.D. gimmick, like, a lot of people think, like, ah, oh, yeah, these are two big badass Tongans coming out to, you know,
to tricky, to massive effect. Right. Or, no, Massive Attack. I'm sorry, Massive Attack. Massive Attack is the band I'm thinking of. Yeah, they're slow and he's slow and plodding, just like the music. The music couldn't fit a guy any better, right? That.
And how horrible was it to hear to have to hear that music two times in a row?
I know, back to back.
Oh my god, I felt like I had to run to the bathroom. Like my stomach started like, oh.
I just and here's another thing. Tama Tonga. Okay, I think I appreciate what he does. It's weird because he turns it on and off.
Yeah, like I was gonna say, I feel like he lost a step.
Oh, he lost a step, but he then, like when he works that gimmick as that sneaky, and this is coming out of my mouth now, when he wears the face paint, like he looks good. Like he's a guy that could pull off the face paint. Tonga Loa is a guy who looks like a 7-year-old took a box of Crayolas to his face, right? It just never looks good. Like
he went to Rite Aid.
Right. Like, not only does he have no wrestling ability, he has no artistic ability either, right? But, you know, Tama Tonga, he does look the part, right? He does look pretty awesome with the makeup, right?
You know what it is? It's the shape of his face.
Maybe.
It's that beard.
Yeah, maybe it is. I don't know.
He looks like a killer.
He does. He looks like a legitimate badass. And again, when he does the creepiness, right? When he does the sneakiness.
It's slippery eel, we call it.
Yeah, or like when he like claps along with the fan, you know, in that real kind of, again, creepy way. Like, that's cool. Like that's a guy who, but he doesn't do it all the time. Like, one night he's that guy, and the next night he's badass brawler, and then the next, you know, it's like make up your fucking mind. Be the guy that works. Like to me, that there's no one else in pro wrestling that does what he does when he's that guy. So he's unique. That character is unique, and he does it well, and he comes into his own. But then the next night he just completely fucking drops it. I don't understand that. Like, look. If we're looking at positives of G.O.D., he's the positive. He is the positive. He's the one with the potential. I wish he would stick with what makes him so interesting and what makes him so, dare I say, like, charismatic. Like, that's charismatic. Like, when he's not that guy, he's just a fucking Bullet Club C-level nothing.
He's a geek.
Yes. And again, this match, I struggled with this match. This might have been minus maybe Bone Soldier Yoshitatsu. This might be one of the worst matches I've seen in New Japan in
a long time.
A good long time. It was a struggle. It was a struggle. And not for nothing, I don't blame Yuji Nagata. The best part about this match was the arm bar and the eyes rolling in the back of the head, because trust me, that's where my eyes were 99% of this time, in the back of my fucking head.
And the crowd always pops for that.
Yeah, it's a cool spot. It's a cool spot.
So Yuji Nagata picking up the win with his backdrop suplex hold. This match also, another thing about it, it felt pretty long.
Again.
It went did. 11 minutes and 45 seconds.
Wow. That went 11 minutes too long to me.
Yeah.
If ever I was looking for a Goldberg moment in a New Japan Pro Wrestling ring, it was right there. I want Yuji Nagata to come out, to hit the spear, jackhammer, and fucking take it home. Oh, Lord Almighty.
Could you imagine Yuji Nagata coming out with the security, breathing the smoke?
His wife and kid by his side. Look. Listen, hopefully that's the last we see of a singles match with Tonga Loa. He's not ready for this. He's not ready. It's quite obvious that he's not.
I did have a scary thought, though.
What's that?
My thought was, wow.
You think he's G1?
Yeah.
Really?
I do. Because, look, they put him in a singles match here. in the New Japan Cup.
Yeah, let's make sure we keep perspective here. New Japan Cup isn't G1.
Everyone who is in this New Japan Cup, though, aside from Juice, I think Juice and Tongaloa are the only two who haven't been G1 participants yet.
All right, you're scaring me.
So to me, I don't know, Damon, that says, okay, this is your, you're going to get some practice in.
A little warm up.
For this summer.
Oh, fuck. Imagine sitting through Block A with Tongaloa.
Oh, my God, fuck having to hear me. That music.
Oh,
that fucking music.
That fucking music.
So, all right, Yuji Nagata picks up the win over Tongaloa, and we move on to Toru Yano versus Tama Tonga. And this was a Yano match, ball shot, roll up in less than 4 minutes. Yano moves on.
Breaks.
You had the turnbuckle gimmick.
Yeah. Did this one shock you? Did this finish shock you?
I was shocked that it went as long as it did.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a quick yank of the hair and.
You had Yano going on.
Yeah, I really did.
See, man, I don't. Again, I hate to beat the dead horse. I'm pretty good at it, but the Tongaloa that not the Tongaloa, the Tama Tonga. I wish they would just be like regular names,
like John and,
oh, for
and
fuck's
Steve.
Sake, the Tonga Matama Takama. My fucking meaty tongue, it's all tripped up. Tama Tonga. I would think that would be a nice platform if we're giving people, the rubs, if you will. Why would we have Yano go on? Why would we have Yano move on? Wouldn't we want to? Well, I guess we can't because that second round match would be fucked, right? It would be Bullet Club. I mean, it's not like they haven't had it before, right?
Right.
So second round match would be the winner of Elgin Fale going against the winner of Yano Tama Tonga. So I guess that's where the monkey wrench fell. But
we're certainly not booking for match quality.
No, we
tournament.
Are not. I honestly feel like that has zero consideration, this New Japan Cup.
And that's sad to me because these are not shows where if you were sitting down with a wrestling fan who has never watched New Japan, I wouldn't show them these.
No, we're not using this as fodder to build new fans, right?
They would be like, I've seen takeover shows that are better than this.
All right, now pump the brakes. All right, that's you're out of hand. But Yano gets the win. It kind of surprised me again because if we're playing 2020 Booker, and again, as it seems like we're trying to make new stars, I would think Tama Tonga would be in that mix. So I was shocked at this finish. I was shocked that Toru Yano is moving on. So, all right. But again, maybe it makes a little bit more sense, being that the next match, Big Mike, Michael Elgin and Bad Luck Fale went the way it went.
Yeah. So we move on to Elgin versus Fale. And I think that I was more excited, about this match, certainly than you, and probably more so than a lot of people, because I thought, okay, it takes a, we've said it before, it takes a special kind of wrestler to pull a good match out of Fale. It takes a Tanahashi or an Okada or a, get ready to ring that bell, a Shinsuke Nakamura. There you go. And I thought to myself, well, you know what? I think Big Mike and Fale could have, an interesting match. You know, those two big bulls just going up against each other and locking horns. And, okay, we saw that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a rather perplexing finish. A finish to me that felt like it just came out of nowhere.
It did. It absolutely did. Because I promise you, I was looking at my phone. And I heard the bell. that's how I knew the match was over. I was like, what? What happened? I thought the match was if I had to draw a line in the sand and be like, okay, which matches were good and which matches were poor, I would put this in the good category, right? I thought this match was not poor or below average. I thought this was a good match. I think Fale, his stamina is questionable at this point, right? I think he was huffing and puffing, and he was sweating like a pig, to be quite honest with you. He was sweating big time, and I can only blame stamina for that. And I think the weight that he has put on does his body no good. He does not he doesn't seem comfortable to me.
Are you comfortable, Damon?
Am I comfortable? Look, certain spots, I guess, right?
That's good.
I don't appreciate the dig. I don't appreciate that at all.
I have to get one in.
All right, well, it's hurtful, you know? I get off this podcast, I cry tears of bacon.
Tears of bacon grease. I have two things to say, Damon.
What now? What?
Okay. Number one, if you'll allow me to be a bit nitpicky.
Oh,
and okay. I hate to do this about matches, but okay. You know how Elgin does one of his signature spots is when his opponent's on the outside and he does that running senton off the apron, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You know which one I'm talking about.
I'm familiar with it, yes.
Well, in this match, he literally just jumped off the apron into Fale's arms. And the bad thing was it looked like that's what he was trying to do. It looked like, I'm going to jump and you're going to catch me. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
I do know the spot. I did have a similar on that one.
It was just strange.
Yeah, because the way he jumped, he was literally perpendicular to the floor.
It didn't even look like he was going for a double axe handle. It just...
Right. He just kind of went straight up and down into his arms. I see that.
So after I saw that, I was like, oh boy.
It took you out of match a little bit.
Oh boy, here we go. And then, you know, sure enough, Fale hits the grenade, 1, 2, 3, and he's moving on to the second round to face Toru Yano.
Well, I will say this. Fale had been picking up, like, in a lot of these shows, Fale is the guy hitting the grenade, getting the win, right? In these Bullet Club multi-man tag matches that he would be chucked in. And again, people made comments of, well, you know, people shouldn't be shocked because this is kind of like their yearly, let's remind everyone, Fale is a monster and he can beat anyone at any time.
And that leads me to my second point that I wanted to make, actually.
Let's do it.
So I was on the NJPW subreddit, by the way, which is a great growing community, by the way. Those guys do a great job over there. And I do like to go on and I like to read some of the user comments after these shows transpire.
Right. Vanity and search Purecast, right?
Right. And
don't do that. Look, you're going to be disappointed. Nah, actually, everybody has nice, lots of nice words.
They really do.
I always worry. Every time I see, like, Monday mornings are the worst for me because
Evan Deadly Sins, he's the one who usually posts the show, right?
Yeah.
God bless him.
Yeah, he's on point.
Like, he's the man.
That thing goes up lickety split. But I always just worry about, I see like 4 comments, 7 comments. I'm like, oh, what the fuck did we say wrong? Every Monday morning I go through it. I'm just like, I dread getting on my computer Monday morning. I'm just like, oh, how did we fuck up this time?
Who did I accidentally call a young lion? Right. I call Tanahashi a young lion.
Right, right. All right. What do you mean Michael Elgin's had 7 5-star matches?
And it's funny, too, because I see you posting on there. I see you replying.
Every once in a while I'll get on there. Every once in a while. Jushin, yes. Every once in a while I'll get in there. There was one guy who, or girl, you know what? I don't want to assume anything.
We have a fair share of female listeners, I'll tell you that.
We absolutely do. Yeah, I'm very happy with that. We were an all-inclusive podcast. Made a comment. I'm listening to the Purecast. And I'm watching the it might have been the 45th anniversary show, and right when Damon says there's no fucking way Juice Robinson is taking the fall, they put too much time and money into it. boom, he takes the fall.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, I know it. So listen, my predictions aren't always on point, but
and neither am I.
Hey, yeah, whose are? We got professional broadcasters who are paid millions of dollars to pick football games, and they're probably 35% for the season. So leave me alone. All right,
anyway, my second point, not to draw this out too much longer, this match, but look, everyone is entitled to their opinion. I understand that, but some opinions are very quizzical to me. And I read this one comment about this match, and whoever this was, I don't remember the username or whatever, but basically what they were saying is they said that they were happy that Fale went over Elgin because Fale is underrated. They said that he's underrated. Damon, what do you think of that assessment? I'm just curious, and I'm not saying that it's right or wrong or whatever. I just found it interesting.
Underrated by who? Like underrated by people who would listen to this show?
No, just in general. They said it like Fale is an underrated wrestler.
I don't agree.
He could be a good monster when you put him in, again, with the right opponent.
Yes. Yes. He definitely needs that. And I will also say that the monster, like people would kind of, you know, a lot of people would laugh along with me, but other people would take it a little bit seriously in the sense of, you remember back in the day where I would be, you know, laying the boots to Doc Gallows, right? And people would come up, well, he's working a big man style. Well, okay. I've seen people work a big man style that are much better than Doc Gallows, right? Right. There are big men in pro wrestling that move a little quicker, are a little cleaner, have more interesting matches than a Doc Gallows. And I feel that Fale falls into that category. He's a monster. And again, you are limited. He's not going to be El Samurai out there. He's not going to be Kenta Gabashi, but yeah, I've seen big man work that have been much better than those. And again, I think Fale has regressed. There was a point in time where Fale, you could argue, was, you know, when he was making those Intercontinental belt runs.
Yeah.
You know, you saw something. I think Fale has regressed in my eyes.
Do you remember that match that he had with Nakamura where he won?
Nakamura was a good match. He's had good matches with Okada. He's had, of course, had good matches with Tanahashi. Again, these are elite pro wrestlers. It's hard to not have a good match with these kind of guys. But you know, the truth is that Fale needs to be in the ring with that kind of talent to help him along in a pro wrestling match. Now, Michael Elgin is a talented guy. This match was okay. It was not, you know, nothing to write home about in my eyes. And you know, listen, not for nothing, if I have to point a finger at something or something where that went wrong, you know, I think, and I don't think this is a horrible thing to say, I got to look at Fale, right? I think Fale's the common denominator there.
Yeah, he's like an anchor that just weighs down the boat.
All right, listen, enough with the fucking weight analogies, all right? God, maybe the guy likes to have a little ramen after the meal.
I know. I'm sorry. I shouldn't talk, by the way, at this point. I've
You carb loading?
Yeah, let's just say I've gained a few. But
is that right?
Yeah.
Wow, pants getting a little snug?
just a bit.
Pants getting a little snug there, fatty?
pretty soon I'm going to be like George Costanza. I'm just going to be draping myself in velvet. I'm going to be going to work in a big red velvet tracksuit.
That sounds wonderful, actually. honestly, it's not far off from what I wear every day. So, all right, let's move on.
All right, main event for night one here. Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Evil. Damon, I think that you summed it up at the beginning of the broadcast when you said this had all of the worst elements of an Evil match. You had the brawling on the outside and the chair spot and... Mm. I'm going to say it now. Like, look, why don't we just have everybody blow Miss now? everybody. Apparently, anyone can do that now. Let's have Okada blow miss. Let's have Omega blow. Let's have Nakanishi blow miss. Let's turn this promotion into Kaiju Big Battle. Let's have a crab.
Don't take a pot shot at Kaiju. Don't take a pot shot at Kaiju.
Damon, I want a crab in the G1. I really do.
I'll be in the first round.
But seriously, though, like, come on. Why couldn't Evil just beat Tanahashi? If you want to have Evil go over, then you can have him, I don't know, have a nut shot. Why do we need Mist?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Yano pin Tanahashi with a ball shot, hair pull, roll up? And didn't we have a winter and spring of nothing but Tanahashi trying to get revenge on Toru Yano?
Some might say that was the most compelling storyline in all of wrestling at that period, and I'm not joking.
Right, you know, Tana getting his groove back. You know, he was stumbling and bumbling and fumbling and at every turn. And you know, I made the analogy of, again, a sports analogy where you're an elite team, but you lose to these, you know, this team that you shouldn't lose, but they just have your number. And that was that. It's not going to kill Tanahashi to get – I don't know. Look, you know how I feel about The Mist, Colin. The Mist is just one of those things that just baffles me at how idiotic it is and how it just – and here's the thing, too. Red Shoes might be the most frail human being on God's green earth. Like, his bones are made out of glass. Because Tana is in the corner, and he's laying the shots in on Evil. And here comes Red Shoes. He's going to grab, you know, by the shoulder, but, hey, you know, get him out of the corner, no closed fist, you know, that whole bit. And Tana kind of just shrugs his arm back. You know, just not, doesn't hit him, just more of a – you know, push away kind of thing. Red Shoes flies across the ring and rolls over, and then he's got to sell this thing like he's been shot. And then here we go. The fucking Mist. Again, the Mist is – I hate the Mist. At one point in my life did I like the Mist? I did.
You were a big Kwang fan?
I was a big Muda guy, so in the Kabuki – it was special when you saw it.
I think Harvey Whippleman should manage LIJ now.
It's gotten to the point where it's just, it dropped my level of like of this match tremendously. It's gotten to the point where it's just like, it's so deflating when you see it and you can't suspend your disbelief and you can't believe that. How could this pop? I would rather see like the old Dusty Tully roll of coins, right? I would rather see – it's just something that would make more sense than seeing a guy covered head to toe in this food coloring that's covering his face and a referee to not acknowledge it. It's like the referee doesn't know that this doesn't happen every single match. Like they have no – concept of what happened, you know, 2 nights ago. It's just, I'm sorry. It's just one of those things that drives me crazy. I know it drives people nuts that it's one of those things that just digs at me, and I bring it up every fucking time.
Oh, people were talking about it on Twitter. They were tweeting us.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah. What were they saying?
Oh, just that they thought of you immediately when that finish happened.
They saw me with a rope around my neck.
I think that I almost got more pissed off at this than you did.
Oh, I mean,
at least equally, because I was very frustrated with this match when it first started, and then, you know, they slowly started the build, and then, you know, they got to a certain point, and then this happened. I don't know. The general consensus seemed to be that people really enjoyed this match. I don't think that the finished bothered a lot of people as much as it bothered us, but I don't know. We saw a lot of garbage here. We saw you know, glimmers of a great match and just a lot of bullshit.
That's what it was. Like, right when it started getting to the point where you're like, okay, this is going to turn into a decent match, and this is going to turn, you know, it's going to turn a corner, and and we're gonna get there eventually. They would cut off us. They would cut us off, and they would do something silly. Again, this had the makings of being a really good match. The finish just took me right out of it, and yeah, it hurt my enjoyment for the match.
Well, Evil picking up the win over Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Who?
Excuse me.
Who?
I'm so flustered. I'm so angry by this finish that I can't even enunciate. But anyway, Evil moving on to the second round, and this leads us to night two. However, Damon, before we get into night two of the New Japan Cup, what if I were to tell you that there was a one-stop shop for all of your Puro merchandise needs? You can get authentic Japanese Puro merchandise straight from Japan shipped directly to your door. You would say I'm crazy, right?
I wouldn't say you're crazy. I would ask, sir, where do I find this?
Well, Damon, I'm glad you asked, because you can find all of that at gaijincollectibles.com. They have got it all there, shipped straight from Japan. Trading cards, T-shirts, action figures. You can order through them directly from the New Japan shop. This is like authentic Puro merch.
Yeah, this is the real deal. This is the stuff that you guys want. This is the stuff that you ask for. And this is the stuff that's difficult to get, right? So it's a one-stop shop. It's a shopping service. There's stuff in stock. But it's the stuff that you want. It's the stuff that, you know you're getting the real deal. You're not getting some knockoff. And you're dealing with a person and a service that, to me, it's top-notch. You can't go wrong. Prices are great. Customer service is great. And again, above everything else, guys and gals, you're getting the real deal.
Absolutely. So check them out, gaijincollectibles.com. That is G-A-I-J-I-N, collectibles. They've got links to all social media on there, Facebook, Twitter. They have an eBay store. And again, authentic Puro merch shipped straight from Japan right to your door. How can you beat that? So again, check them out, gaijincollectibles.com.
Way to go, Colin. That was a nice little read there. Good job by you.
I thought so. Not too shabby.
And again, guys, in all seriousness, support them, because they're good people. By supporting them, indirectly, you support us. We're not going to sit here and do a patron? What is it called? We're not going to do that, Mary. We're not going to do that. We're going to
Patreon, I believe.
Patreon, whatever it's called. But look, we're not going to do that. That's not our thing. But hey, you want to help the PureCast? You want to support us? Support the people who invest in us. And again, for quality, from Japan merch. And again, this is the stuff that you guys want and desire. Help us by helping them.
Absolutely. This isn't just Damon like buying a pack of Hanes T-shirts and drawing on it with crayons and shipping it to you.
That'd be awesome. You know what? Maybe we should do that. That would be, $20, right? I'll do a customized, like a Tanahashi. I'll draw Tanahashi, or I'll draw Jushin Liger. We could make some serious bank on that. Yep. Now we're talking.
It'll be with watercolors.
Oh, I'll have all the arts. I'll have spray paint. Like I'll do like airbrushing, like you go down to the Jersey Shore, the big graffiti type style. I'll do that. I'll do some yarn art. That'd be great. Glitter. Excited. I'll be Dazzle, a motherfucking t-shirt.
PuroCast Arts and Crafts, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Seriously though. Moving on to night two, March 12th. First match of the New Japan Cup and night two. Juice Robinson versus Yujiro Takahashi. Damon, a few things. Number one, very happy to see I believe her name is Peter, actually.
And Peter?
Yeah, that's her name. Okay. And you can follow her on Instagram. I highly recommend it. She is known as Muffin Ass on there.
Is it really? Yeah. Is that really her Instagram name?
Yeah, that's her Instagram name.
Yeah. Muffin Ass?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. I guess Pastry Ass was taken. I'm known as Croissant Ass in my circles, my Instagram handle.
So very nice to see her there. Always a pleasure.
I'll tell you what, the cameraman really liked it. I haven't seen, like, there was some of those shots. That guy was really digging in.
We haven't seen that since Maria.
I mean, my goodness gracious. I mean, you can't watch that with the family. It's bordering on
attitude era-esque.
right. All right. What else did you like about this count?
I can honestly say that I was more emotionally invested in this match than all of the cut matches from the first night. And
really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. It's because we have watched Juice Robinson, since he first came to New Japan,
right.
And we were wondering, what is this guy doing here? Why do they have him here? And, he started out washing dishes in the back. Then, they moved him as he was whisking up the eggs in the bowl. And, before you know it, he's at the Tokyo Dome having a match. He's in the New Japan Cup. So I think because, we watched Juice Robinson really grow in the past year. So it's like when you see him in a match here on like such a big stage for him, you want to root for him. You want him to win. You want him to do good. And sure enough, he picked up the win over Takahashi here.
Yeah. I think that was the smartest thing they could do. There were a couple moments. There were a couple moments the baby face was in peril. But Juice, yeah, you're right, though. I think that's one thing that he has in his favor is that it's easy for you to, kind of root for the guy. Even on a, us jaded podcast New Japan type fans, it's easy for us to be jaded. But even then, you watch a match and you do get into it for that reason because you do want to see the guy do well. And I think he did do well. And again, it was the right finish and the right guy moved on. And the right guy took the fall. And I think everything was right in the world during this match.
Damon, you have to pick one match. Nagata versus Tongaloa or Juice versus Takahashi?
Oh, God, Juice versus Takahashi at the end of the week. No problem. I'd watch Juice Robinson take a bowel movement before I have to watch Tongaloa again.
Hey, yeah. I'm sure there's a market for that somewhere.
I'm sure. Well, listen, I'd be there. All right. Let's move on before it gets too smutty.
All right. Second match, Yoshihashi versus Sanada. I thought this was a good match, and there was
This was good. Yeah.
I thought that this was going to end early, actually. When he first got him in the skull end, I thought, uh-oh, Yoshihashi's being dismissed quite early, but no, it did continue. We had a close to a 14-minute match here. There was that one, I think it was the ending spot. Again, I hate to be nitpicky, but Sanada did that moonsault, where he's supposed to kind of catch him in the reverse DDT position.
Kind
of slipped up on that one a little bit, but
and then they went back to it. Yeah, I do know that. But here's the thing, Colin. For me, the way that Yoshihashi has been presented this year and the way that we all project Sanada to be, this one was kind of up in the air for me, picking a winner. And I think that helped with the match because it could have gone either way in my eyes. And that made it a little bit more special. Two, I think these guys worked their asses off. I thought it was a really solid match. I don't have any complaints for a first round match. And again, when we looked at this show, we did include this particular match in the lineup of, hey, we're really looking forward to it. I mean, it was of all the matches, I don't know necessarily it was the top of the list, but it was in the conversation of, okay, this show on the 12th is going to be a really solid show, and they're going to help with that.
Yeah, and imagine us saying a year ago about a Yoshihashi match saying, well, it could go either way.
Yeah, no, that was the cards were not in their favor. And that's good. And I, once again, kind of harping on the themes of these shows is New Japan has done a solid job of making stars, right? And giving the spotlight to certain guys at certain times during the year where we're going to focus on them to help elevate them so that we have scenarios like this where, hey, it could have gone either way, and that makes a match to me more exciting.
All right, so Sonata picking up the win with the skull end, and we move on to the semi-main event, Katsuyori Shibata versus Minoru Suzuki, a match that, on paper, I would say is certainly a pants-down match. Wouldn't you agree, Damon?
My pants were unbuckled. I was ready to rock and roll. unfortunately, things didn't work out that way, Colin, because to me, and I don't know what it was. I don't know where it went south. I don't know if it's just a chemistry thing. I can't put my finger on it, Colin.
I can tell you where it went south.
Well, it went south.
Right when the bell rang. That's when it went south. Like, I expected these two guys to just come out swinging muskets, turned up to 11, slapping the shit out of each other full force. And what do? They lock up and they grapple. And I'm thinking, what the hell is this?
Yeah, you're supposed to hate each other? Yeah, I'm there. Yeah, that's not what I expected out of the gate. Again, these are top-notch grapplers, right? So I understand that there is that sense of, okay, I'm going to one-up you in that regard. And then it went the complete polar opposite way, Colin, and it got into that world of, and trust me, I love that world, but when you get there with no flow and no meaning, like they just started getting into the, I'm going to do the forearm shivers into your chest mode, right? And it, like, the two worlds never connected. Like, it was like they had seven different matches in one match. I couldn't hop on board on this match. It was something missing. The beginning didn't help it. It picked up in spots, and then it would die down, and then it would pick up in spots and would die down. And again, Suzuki is, you know, he's not a spring chicken, right? So again, he's not going to, you know, he's going to do a little bit more mat work than maybe we were expecting or wanting out of a Shibata Suzuki match. Colin, I felt like this was flat. I felt this match was really flat, and it disappointed me big time.
Another thing that hurt this match, again, you have Tai Chi on the outside. You know, he has to get his shots in.
Yeah, he worried me.
And then you've got I hate the brawling in the crowd with the chairs and the throat and the guardrail. And, I'm just so sick of that.
Did you see the one spot where Suzuki picks up a 3/4 of the way empty bottle of water? Right, like just like a bottle that we get out of a vending machine, so a cheap plastic, you know, something that you could crinkle easily with your hand.
Yeah,
and he attacks Shibata with it and hits him in the head, and I'm thinking, come on, I mean, I could take that for Christ's sake. Colin, this was not what I expected. This was not what I expected.
This was a disappointment. I'll say it. This was a disappointment.
Yeah, I have to agree. It left me flat. It left me flaccid. I expected a lot more. I don't know where it went south. It just didn't work, and it didn't connect with me.
Even the finish, very anticlimactic. Just felt again like it kind of came out of nowhere. Shibata hits the PK, 1-2-3, advances. I don't know. This match, do you think that if this happened during the G1, we would see a completely different match? Do you think the setting had anything to do with this?
I don't know. I mean, listen, it's
or is it just chemistry?
Yeah, it's a wrestler's job to kind of get the crowd into it. And again, there are bad crowds, and there are times when I'll sit here and I'll say, man, that crowd really sat on their hands. I don't know, Colin. I find it hard to believe that those two guys can't. And again, this wasn't a terrible match. Let me make that clear. This wasn't a terrible match. It really wasn't what I was expecting, though. And I thought it would be better. Here's the thing. I thought it would be more
hard hitting and just balls to the wall.
Yeah, or yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe like it didn't feel like there was a sense of urgency, right?
No.
That sense of hatred or that sense of urgency or importance, or I'm struggling to find the right word. But
urgent. Remember that?
I do. Foreigner, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, see? Don't come out with a fucking song and not know the. I could have said Sticks and you'd been like, yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm struggling to find the right word, but there was that element was missing from
something was lacking. And if we're throwing snowflakes at this one, this is in the threes for me.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's in the threes for me. High threes. Three and a half. I'll tell you what, it's nothing I'm going to go back and watch. I can tell you that much.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. I agree.
And up to this point, nothing was anything I'm going to go back and watch until we arrive at our main event here, the match that I think that most people were salivating at on paper. Tomohiro Ishii versus Kenny Omega. Okay, so let's start off with what you were saying earlier. So Omega comes out, and it seems, you know, these past two nights, he's been a bit more subdued, shall we say.
Mm.
Seems like he has a lot on his mind. I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't. One, I think it was a mistake having him in a tag match. Like, he should have debuted in the singles match.
Yes.
Like this should have been his welcome back Kenny moment.
Yeah, screw those ROH shows.
Truth be told, yes. I really feel that's the truth.
Like, you had to bring him back at Honor Rising? Really?
To me, this would have been a perfect time to bring him back. Colin, I promise you, as God is my witness, I mumbled under my breath when I saw him coming out. He didn't seem the same. Like, he didn't seem like the same guy. And again, it might just be me, but like, I'm looking at him coming to the ring, and he's giving everybody, you know, he did that interview. What's a baby face? What's a heel? You know, for a guy who's apparently a heel, and I put that in quotes, you know, he's the most babyface heel. Like, he's hugging kids and slapping hands.
Yeah,
and
kissing babies. And
seriously.
Pointing at signs.
I'm waiting for him to rip off his shirt Hulkster style. He didn't seem himself. And again, I am purely just looking at what I'm looking at on the TV. And it felt like he was wearing his emotions on his sleeve, where he wasn't happy, but something was not right. And again, everything could have been 100% fine. He could have had, you know, it could have been his birthday, and he just got a new car, and, you know, he just refied his house. Who knows? Could have been the best day of his life. What the fuck do I know? I'm looking at the guy walking through the curtain, and it didn't seem like he was Kenny Omega.
No, I think that there's definitely something to that. Then I wasn't even going to bring it up until you brought it up, and I agree.
I wonder if anybody else saw that. Like if you did, let Colin know via something.
Don't let Damon know.
Don't let me know. Let him know, because I think I don't know. That's what I felt before the bell even rang. Before the bell even rang, and then, you know, lo and behold, I feel like I'm being overly negative toward these shows, though. I'm, and I don't want to be, but I'm just giving you what I'm.
I think part of it is that we're used to filet mignon.
Yeah, the bar is very fucking high. And again, should I temper my expectations for New Japan Cup? I don't know. Why should I?
Last year, it felt like we had more quality matches, and maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
Right, and again, we're not performing in front of 30,000 people. I understand all this. Guys, you don't have to fucking tell me. I know that. But what... again, if I put on a piece of paper saying Kenny Omega is now going to go into the ring with Tomohiro Ishii, and we're going to give them 20 minutes. Or how long was this match, Con? 15?
This match almost went a half hour.
Wow.
It was sniffing a half hour. And can we talk about the positives?
Yeah, there were.
The positive is welcome back Tomohiro Ishii. He has escaped from Yano Hell, from Yano Prison, and man, he is back in a big way. There's so many cool things to talk about that happened in this match. Lots of great moments. I love when they're just trading chops back and forth, and Ishii's like, "All right, motherfucker," and he just chops him right in the throat.
Mm-hmm. And then Kenny came back with was it a drop kick, or he like instantly came back with something, but then he went back and still continued to kind of sell that chop. I did like that. Yeah, I did enjoy that.
Can you believe Ishii climbing up to the top rope and doing a Frankensteiner, a Hurricane Rana, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah.
Good God.
They were hanging up there for a while. I was getting a little nervous. They were on that top turnbuckle.
Yeah,
for
it was
a
scary.
While. It looked like he was teasing. I don't know if anybody noticed that. It looked like he was teasing a very similar spot that we saw earlier in the week with good old W and Okada. Right? That powerbomb spot on the top rope. It looked like Kenny was trying to hit that as maybe a you can do it, I can do that too, in some type of homage. But he never wound up hitting it. Ishii was able to counter it. But, definite highlights there. Again, with Ishii, the hard hitting, the headbutts, the Kenny Omega with the running knee strikes. All good stuff.
Scary too. Omega trying to get Ishii up for the one winged angel, like that kind of looked like a struggle.
Yeah, well, and then there was a couple times where Ishii was struggling with Omega on his shoulders.
Yeah,
getting him up. Yeah. So again, that's the nitpicky things. Again, if I put it on paper, I thought that up until a certain point in this match, and I'm giving it like the last 3 minutes, the match was kind of herky jerky for me. It was good in spots. In other spots, it was like, okay, what are we doing, guys? What are we doing? And then the last 3 or 4 minutes, things really picked up and got into high gear. And again, I'm in the four area. Am I recommending this match? Probably. This is probably the match I would recommend most through these two shows.
I don't want to be too harsh, but I'm going to go so far as to say, with these two shows, just watch this match. Honestly, just watch this match.
How about Evil Tanahashi?
That was a good match.
I'm going to give you 3 matches out of this.
Okay. You want me to pick three?
Pick three.
Okay, so, of course, Omega versus Ishii.
Yep.
Sonata versus Yoshihashi.
Yep.
And then, from the first night, I mean, how could I not go with Tanahashi versus Evil?
Exactly my order. That's exactly what I got. Everything else was different degrees of okay to... I'm going to eat a bullet.
Wow.
So
you're gonna gobble it up like Nakamura did when AJ shot him.
That's right. You're gonna take it right out of the air and shake. Look, it was what it was, and two nights I wouldn't say go down as some of the better New Japan shows. In fact, I would probably say that they were somewhere in the middle, with two good, very good matches, one good match, and the rest, various degrees of gray. How's that? How's that for a review?
Well, we're going to talk about the bracket as it is now. Now, I'm looking at the schedule. Yeah. And the rest of the cup, we have a show on the 13th, Monday, Tuesday the 14th, Wednesday the 15th, Friday the 17th. Now, those are not live shows on NJPW
right.
World, ladies and gentlemen.
As of right now.
Right.
Right. Now, that might change, but as of right now, right, the show and the match, the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 17th are not live. I would assume that they would have those matches. I think I did read or somebody told me that those matches will eventually be up that same day on NJPW World. But again, don't wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast expecting to watch a live show, because that ain't going to happen.
Damon, let's have a little fun here. I want to play a little game with you.
All right.
And I'm going to throw out the round two matches, and I want you to give me your level of excitement. This is going to be fun.
Between what? Suicide and and staring blankly at a television.
Well, right? That's why this is going to be fun, all right?
Between lighting myself on fire and, I don't know. All right, it will
eating
be
a bowl of nails.
A bowl of nails. All right, what do we got?
All right, here we go. So round two. First round two match, we're going to see Evil versus Yuji Nagata. That has potential, I think, right?
Yeah. We're going to see what Yuji's got left in the tank. I think he's got plenty left. Evil's a hard-hitting, beefy, bull kind of guy. Could be good. Scale, I would say... and again, I like the idea of a singles match for Evil. Oh, six. I'm a six.
Okay. Next, we're going to see Bad Luck Fale versus Toru Yano. Now, what do you think is going to happen here?
Look, the only thing I hope happens is we get a solid nut shot, and the underboss, he gets a shot in his underboss. His underboss gets rattled with a shot from Yano. And we go home as quick as possibly can.
So do you think in that case, do you think we're looking at an Evil versus Yano match? Do you think Yano can make it to the finals?
Yeah. Here's the thing. It has to go quick, because if not, this is going to be atrocious. So, again, I'm thinking it has to go quick, and the quickest way to get from point A to point B is a Yano nut shot, and we go home.
Sounds logical.
But that means Yano goes on.
It does. But do you want to see Fale versus Evil, or Fale versus Nagata?
No.
Not that I think Nagata's moving on. I don't see that. I mean, this is Evil's time to shine.
Yeah, I would go Evil. I'm going to go Evil Yano.
Yeah, I think you're right. Evil Yano.
Wow. Okay. I'm not looking forward to that.
Honestly, one quick point. I'd rather see that than Evil Fale, simply because of the oh shit, what's going to happen factor. You know what I mean?
No, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Can Yano squeak by here?
Oh, yeah. No, listen. No, I'm taking the lesser of two evils.
I see what you did there.
But
you're so clever.
Yeah, I'm witty. I'm going to go Yano.
Okay.
Because here's the thing, at least Yano can, it would be an exciting thing, you know, with the hair pulls and the kickouts and the false finishes, and you can squeeze a lot of stuff in a minute or two with Yano.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. So I'm going to go Yano and keep my fingers crossed there.
Alrighty. Next, we're going to see Shibata versus Juice Robinson, which could be a good match.
Yeah. Yeah. You think Juice could get the win?
I was just kind of mulling that over in my mind. I was going to ask you.
I think the favorite definitely is Shibata. And I think I remember somebody making a comment to us about how, and we get 1,000 of these comments a year, but you know, this is Shibata's time to shine. And I got to be honest with you. I kind of see Juice moving on.
I would have no problem with that.
Is that crazy?
No, I don't think it's crazy. And what a way to cement Juice Robinson as like a, you know, a legit contender, a guy who is in the game. He's in it to win it, as Randy Jackson used to say on American Idol. I'm sorry. Deuce is in it to win it, baby.
Bloody awful. Yeah, but it's something in the back of my head says
Shibata's going to kick the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I think is going to happen. I think that they're going to have a competitive back and forth match. Shibata is ultimately going to emerge victorious.
You're probably right. You're probably right. Let's go Shibata.
Alrighty.
All right, Shibata.
Then we're going to see a match that makes me salivate. Anyway, Ishii versus Sanada.
Yeah, that does look good on paper.
Looks tasty, huh?
That's a good one. That should be decent. Let's go Ishii. So then we would see Ishii Shibata, right?
Yeah, we would see another Ishii Shibata match with, hey, I'm fine with that. I'll watch those two all day.
And then what else do we have in the other bracket? Yano and who? Evil,
you're
right?
You're making me go back. Yeah.
Yano and Evil, right?
Yeah, Yano and Evil. Okay. Well, we think we're going to see that match.
Right.
I got to be honest with you. I don't think that Ishii... I see Sanada moving on.
Well, I think, like I said, it kind of does play... if we're doing... kind of connecting the dots like we like to do here... would be a nice little segue for Ishii to kind of finally say, hey, what the fuck? Give me my title shot that we've all been clamoring for.
That's what I would prefer. What I would prefer. But I don't know. I think they're using this cup as a bit of a conduit to move some guys up the roster. And it wouldn't surprise me if Sanada beats Ishii.
Do you think down the future we're looking at Sanada Okada?
How about, wouldn't it be something if Sanada, let's say he wins this and decides to challenge for the IC title?
Yeah. Interesting. You know, you always hear Naito talking about how he would, you know, the real competition is within Los Ingobernables. Like, he always read interviews and translations of that. So, yeah, that's a possibility, too. I think a possibility definitely is Shibata going all the way through. And again, I think the Ishii finally getting his rematch is also in the cards as well. So, hey, listen, you got three ways you can go. So, you know, for all our bitching and moaning about the New Japan Cup, they did leave some doors open and some possibilities for some interesting things down the road. So while the match quality wasn't what we're normally accustomed to and what we want, quite possibly, again, maybe we're taking a step backwards to move two steps forward.
And then, Damon, the finals, which are going to be, of course, live on NJPWWorld.com, they will be taking place Sunday, March 19th and Monday, March 20th.
Yep, semifinals on the 19th, finals on the 20th.
Right.
Yep, so there you go. And that will set us up for right before G1 and set us up for the summer months, spring and summer months here in the Western Hemisphere. All right, very good. So there you go. That's that in a nutshell. What else are we talking about here, Colin?
Yeah, before we wrap up today's show in a neat little package. Thoughts on the 45th anniversary show from last Monday?
Well, the one thing that obviously sticks out above everything else, and I think one of the better matches that we have seen in this entire, it seemed like there was a show every night. It felt like G1 season here in New Japan. Was obviously Dubs, TM Dubs.
TM Dubs.
TM Dubs and Okada in a non-title affair where we all speculated that, you know, TM Dubs was going to find a way to get a win. He's going to unmask. He's going to Misawa the joint, and away we go. And, of course, none of that fucking happened.
Of course not. Right, why, none why of the things it? That we talk about actually no. happen.
Please. Are you kidding me?
This should be called like the fantasy booking New Japan podcast.
Working ourselves into a fucking lather.
Yep.
Over things that never were going to happen.
Very good match though.
Outstanding match, I thought.
You know what I found kind of cool? So I was listening to the English commentary feed with of course Kevin Kelly and Don Callis making his return to the commentary booth, and Kevin Kelly was talking about how you can go on NJPW World and you can check out a match between Okada and Kota Ibushi that happened at an anniversary show from 2014.
What does that have to do with anything?
Right.
Kevin Kelly exposing the business.
He was kind of like, it was cool. He didn't like come outright and say like, this is Kota Ibushi. He was kind of, you know, winking throughout the night. And during the match, actually, during the commentary, during the match, I forget what moment it was, but he said something like, this is just like what happened in 2014 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, well, do we get mentioned?
What do you think? We are blacklisted, baby.
I don't know what happened. I didn't do anything wrong. I even offered to buy the gentleman a beer. The match was tremendous, I thought. I thought the match was really good. I thought there were some death-defying spots. That power bomb that was successful from the top rope from Dubs was outstanding. Outstanding. And I think my biggest concern with the match going in was I don't want him to work tight. I don't want him to try to not be Kota Ibushi. I'd rather him just be Kota Ibushi.
And that was my problem with the match.
Yeah, there was because there was a lot of that. There was a lot of him trying to alter his style to be
Tiger Mask.
Yeah, which okay. But there's plenty. Look, the guy's a world class pro wrestler. The guy could pretend to be Ole Anderson, and it would still be a great fucking match.
I think he would get off on that.
He probably would. The Institute would get a lot of research. Ugh.
Yeah, the Kota Ibushi.
Learn, what is it? The Institute of Higher Learning, or school of.
Damon, I've been thinking about going back to college. Maybe.
Yeah.
I wonder what the acceptance rate is there. I wonder if I can get in.
And apparently there's a community of one, him. I don't know anybody else.
Is that like
up.
Trump University?
I think it is. Yeah. Dakota Ibushi. Oh, boy. Fucking Strayer University is more more renowned. All right.
What a guy.
Look, he's a character. He's definitely his own guy, and good for him. Me, I'd rather him concentrate on being the best pro wrestler in the world, getting in the ring, starting a feud with for a title, getting in there with Kenny Omega would be a joy, and we go from there. But maybe I'm just being impatient. Maybe I should just wait until it happens naturally in the we'll see where we go from there. But that match was really good. I think of that entire show, that was probably the highlight. And then, Colin, we failed to mention.
What's that?
Colin, we have new tag team champions of the world.
We certainly do. And we have new junior heavyweight champions as well.
That's right. The show really hammered home the lack of depth in the tag team division.
Boy, did it ever.
Now, I mean, listen. At this point, give the belts to Tenzan and Kojima. I did not expect that. I thought they would just, you know.
I think I called that one last week.
Did you?
Yeah. I think I said that they were like, I said, why not?
Oh, that's not calling it. That's why not.
That's a call. Yeah, that's a call.
Why not is calling.
Yeah, if I say why not, that means right? It's probably going to happen.
There you go. All right. Who's winning the Super Bowl this year?
The Patriots.
Honestly, that's probably
why not?
Why not? Vegas odds are now altering. Colin said, why not? I don't have a problem with it, even though Tenzan can barely walk. Did you see him on the show the other day?
Oh, I did.
Where it was one of the undercard matches. And I forget which one of the young lions was getting mauled by Bullet Club. and Tenkozy were walking to the ring. And Kojima sees this and sprints down the aisle to get in the ring to help his partner. And Tenzan could not sprint. He could barely walk, the poor guy. So, yeah, he's a hurting dog. And we'll see how long it goes. But, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with them taking the belts. I thought it was a strange call. Definitely an audible, I would think, right? But, yeah, we'll see what happens there. And then the junior tag, I'm just – that's getting the old hand wave. I can't deal with that shit. All right, so that's that, right? We're done. We reviewed these shows. Everyone's happy. And Colin, take it home.
All righty. We just want to thank each and every one of you, as always, for tuning in every week. Your support means the world to us, guys. Remember, NewJapanPuroCast.com, your one-stop shop for all things New Japan PuroCast. You can listen to the shows directly on there as they are uploaded. Links to social media, Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, the whole bit is right on there. NewJapanPuroCast.com and VoicesOfWrestling.com. Lots of great articles on there. They have a podcast for everyone, and we're usually uploaded on there, usually by Monday afternoon. So you can listen to us on there as well, VoicesOfWrestling.com. And of course, check out our friends at GaijinCollectibles.com. Great Puro merch delivered directly to your door from Japan. So on that note, Damon, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Here we go. You ready for this one, Colin?
I am ready.
When we disconnect and we say goodbye for another week of the New Japan PuroCast, guess where my fat ass is going?
Where's that?
To a gym.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Me and the missus joining the gym.
What are you planning on doing there?
Throwing up.
I mean, are you going to get on the elliptical? Are you going to do some weights?
I'm going to be truthful. I have no fucking idea. I'm thinking treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the big thing, because when we go on these trips, we do a lot of walking. So, like if I can build up some stamina, that's really the end goal.
Hey man, walking is great exercise.
So, that's where we're going. So,
proud.
Well, thank you, buddy. It needs to be done. We gotta take some steps in the opposite direction. So, I had some motivation online from a good gentleman, Ed Davis, who's a member of the Classic Board, who is going through similar struggles, and he definitely is an inspiration. He's been very successful. So I was like, you know what? We got these trips coming up. I got Japan I want to do next year. I think dropping a couple pounds would be something good. So, that's where we're going.
All right, so Damon's headed to the gym. I am going to cook some lunch. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys next week. Have a good one.